Blog Talk Radio.
The Diva and Diva Lives and Friends. Thanks for joining us tonight. it's one of those weeks. Follow us daily at our blog at divaofdivalives.blogspot.com. You can follow me. My name is Carrie at Diva of Duel on Twitter. And we have two Facebook pages, Diva Days and a fan page, Diva of Days for Lives. And you can find all the links to that on our Blog Talk Radio show page. And on our blog, we have an email sign up. And I actually signed up for it myself just to see how it goes down. You just type in your name, your email address, and basically just once a day, it's not spam, you will get an email with all the blog entries that were created the past 24 hours with links to each individual blog. So if you want to keep up to date to what's going on, but you don't want a bunch of spam in your inbox, I highly recommend that you sign up for the email list on the Diva blog. So tonight we have Miss Marianne with us, who's feeling a little ill.
Hello, everyone. My voice isn't up to par, but I'm going to see what I can do.
let's not forget to at Bob Hapka. That's at BOBHAPKA. And I've been getting a lot of support from the Gays of Days. I think that's at Gays of Days. You know, guys, everybody wants to follow them. And we'll definitely talk about Will tonight. But first, my voice is going a little bit too, because we only had three interviews this week. So we were slacking. There was only three. So, and on Monday, I had the pleasure of interviewing Bill and Susan Seaforth Haves about their new book, Trumpet, which I'm probably going to download it tomorrow. And they're lovely, as always, and you can find that interview here at Blog Talk Radio. Mostly Susan did the talking, but the book is about the Regency era of England, which is the early 18th century. No, I'm sorry, not the 18th century, the 1800s. And the character's name is Lizzie Trumpet. She's about 16, and I believe she's orphaned, and she decides to go into show business to try to support her family. And basically all the ups and downs of her life. I believe they said it covers 13 years of her life. And they also wrote a bit of her in Egypt. And it was really fascinating listening to them. They spent 7 years writing this book and doing their research. And actually, it was their agent who recommended that they do a historical fiction book. So it sounds really fascinating. And from what I read, there's erotic sex scenes and everything else.
I listened to it today. And it sounds, the book sounds interesting.
Yeah.
She said a 400 page or something. So it's pretty.
Yeah.
It's nice, like novel. Yeah, it sounds good. She says it has a little bit of everything. So.
It sounds. And it's supposed to be available in hardback, in book form within a week. Mm-hmm. And right now it's available for download. And in some areas you can get as low as $4.99. I mean, really, you can't complain about that. That's cheaper than getting fast food for yourself. So even a good summer read, I recommend reading Trumpet. And when I read it, I'm going to probably put up a review too. So if anybody has read it and would like to talk about it, you know, call in 914-338-1239, or you can post on the blog and let us know what you thought of the book. So they were fantastic as always. They did film recently. Say the last 2 weeks they did do some filming, so we're probably not going to see them again for about I think, but maybe end of July, middle August or something. Because right now they're filming in middle August, so we're probably not going to see them for a while. And then Wednesday, we did a live call-in show with Patrick Muldoon. And once again, it was hilarious. He's a riot. And it was cool as we got to talk to his guitar player, Neil, and his British accent. That was pretty neat. So is there anything that struck you about Pat this time around, Marianne?
What's that about Pat? Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, it was great. He was crazy. It was fun. You know, talking about Austin and all Austin's problems, and it was a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what we had a lot of callers. I know that. And talked about a little bit of everything. I think there was like nothing that we didn't talk about. I think, I don't know, is he kind of hopeful? Maybe there's even a chance of him coming back. I don't know.
I think there's a very good chance.
There's rumors out there about Christy, so.
Yeah, even Silver Digest now is reporting that Christy's coming back. That kind of makes us laugh, because it's like, okay, thanks. You know, we heard that rumor, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? You know, thought is really on the wall. It only took them 3 weeks to come to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm wondering how long she's going to be off before she comes back.
She's still in San Francisco, and they were filming this past week. So, she's definitely didn't turn around now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with Patrick. That's what was really interesting. I asked him how he came up with the name of his band, The Flipping Masses. And if you haven't watched Patrick's concerts from his living room, it's that has a fantastic voice. And I think he's put maybe 4 songs out now on YouTube. And actually, I like them all. They were all pretty good. And you hear them all as a single. And they're just sitting there doing an acoustic. It's really fascinating. So I'd recommend doing that. And they came up with the name of Sleeping Masses from Friedrich Nietzsche. So I thought that was kind of fascinating. I mean, you know, you get some from Nietzsche to come up with the name. And Sleeping Masses kind of refers to basically people being sheep and not thinking for themselves. But he found it, he found it to be more positive. It's about being alive and stuff like that. So that's why I came up with the Sleeping Masses. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So, it's always interesting how bands come up with their names.
That's the stuff I want to know. It's like because some of the names are just so bizarre. Like, well, how the hell did they come up with that? So and Sleeping Masses, I just thought, that's such a cool name. I wonder how he came up with it. So it's from Reacha. So,
babysitting. Babysitting dogs, I know. Heard the dogs in the background.
Yeah, the dog. The dog was there the next day too. He was complaining.
Oh, okay.
He said on Twitter he was writing lyrics, and the dog was bothering him, while he was trying to write. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and we were all teasing him about the scrapbook, Austin, in the scrapbook.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sure. He was just thrilled about that. So.
Yeah, he said, as soon as he saw the script about the scrapbook, he said he knew he was gone.
Yeah. Time for Austin to go. Yeah.
But I do feel bad for him, because Austin was so poorly written this time around. He basically kind of did nothing but bicker a bit with Carrie for several months. And then the Abbey stuff went on, which was really fantastic. And that was actually a great storyline, and it was wonderful seeing Austin squirm like that. It was pretty good angst. But that was that was the interesting part of the storyline. They dropped it like a hot potato and kept the boring part of the storyline, which was Carrie and Rafe. I mean, most people do not like Carrie and Rafe, and some people who do like it are just kind of saying that because they want Rafe away from Sammy.
Oh.
I don't.
It's not the same as Carrie and Austin. Carrie and Rafe. No. No.
No, it's no. It seems like, oh, they're in love. It's like, okay, you guys ever go on a date? I mean, it just...
Yeah,
it's
how
just,
did that, when did that happen?
Yeah. And she's in love with Rafe, but she keeps banging her husband every chance she gets. I mean, that's kind of bizarre, too. But, yeah, so it was a lot of fun talking to Patrick. And I have to reiterate that, yeah, that Patrick's wardrobe was just horrendous the entire time. He's worn the same jacket like 10 times. He's wearing plaid all the time. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, they're dressing him like an old...
Carrying a purse.
You know, like,
he's carrying his purse.
Oh, I thought about it.
Yeah, or the... wasn't a belt bag, but it was a shoulder thing, shoulder bag. I don't know what
it was. Professors do carry stuff like that, though.
Oh, maybe it
you
was
know?
More a bag, like a briefcase type instead of a purse type. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So that was our Wednesday interview, and you guys, anybody could find it here on Watch Our Radio in our archives. And that was fascinating. The callers came up with some different questions. And then yesterday, I had the pleasure of interviewing Charlie Shaughnessy again. And Charlie is so wonderful and
mm-hmm.
so pleasant.
Yeah, he's easy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's such an easy interview. I mean, it's concerning. This is a guy who's probably one of the most famous actors that ever come out of Days. He was on The Nanny, and he's all over Nickelodeon and Disney Channel. I mean, he's on Victorious, which I think was on at 8 o'clock tonight. He's playing Simon Cowell-type characters, which is funny. He's always kind of playing the British music producer. So, and he's busy. I mean, he's... Charlie's always doing everything, and he's also a star of The Bay, the web series. And if you haven't watched The Bay, haven't watched season 2, it's really, really good. And they picked off at the wedding of Brian and Zoe, and then with the explosion. It's slowly unraveling. Everybody's finding out who died in the explosion. And on Thursday's episode, which was episode 4, Charles Shaughnessy's character, Elliot Sanders, he finds out that his daughter Isabella was tied up and killed in the explosion. And just the emotion that Charlie went through and the pain and the denial. And it was so raw and real. But you figure with the actress, I mean, he probably didn't work more than a couple of days with that actress ever. She only appeared in season 1, and then she was dead in season 2, and they didn't even show her in season 2. And just how he can just go there. But, you know, it's a little bit different when it's Days, because, you know, the actors become friends with each other and like each other, and yeah, it does hurt when one of them gets fired or killed off, and yeah, it's kind of different with The Bay, because sometimes some of these actors are only working for a weekend or two, and that's about it. You know, they never, like, I interviewed Mary Beth Evans, I can't remember who she kissed, it was Jolanda O'Hara was, and it's supposed to be her character, you know, the love of her lifetime, her soulmate, and basically she said, you know, like within a few minutes of meeting, they were kissing. So it's amazing with The Bay what they do and how they pack so much action into about an 8-minute episode a week. So
yeah, I watched all of season 1, but I have to start with season 2. I haven't got to that yet, but I'll have to.
Yeah,
but because I enjoyed season 1, I watched all of those. So.
Oh, and Jed Allen is in one of the episodes.
They did put him in then. I remember Gregory said he was going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, he did season 1.
Which the diva suggested, you know. He suggested, you know. That came on the show, right? Did that on the show.
Yes, he said it on the show that his first scene was...
interviewed him. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we told him that Jed Allen left Days of Our Lives because his character went out to check the mail and didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Gregory put it in as an inside joke on The Bay. Jed Allen walks in and basically tells his daughter, "Oh, he just came back to get the mail," and it was really funny.
Yeah.
And then his episode that he did for this season, he's in the back of the limo with his daughter, with her busted wedding. And he feels bad that he talked her to going to the wedding and going through with it. She didn't go through with it. And he's like, I want you to come up with, go to my place with me up in Santa Barbara. And it was funny because Jed Allen was the star of Santa Barbara. He played Cece Capwell.
Any fan that knows that would be funny.
Yeah, so it was a cute little, there's a lot of inside jokes about Jed Allen because the actor playing his son on The Bay is Lane Davies. And Lane Davies played his son Mason on Santa Barbara, and Mason and Cece never got along. Because Mason felt like the black sheep because he was the product of Cece's first marriage, and Cece never really cared for his first wife. So it was pretty cool. There's a lot of, and you know, Jed Allen's very funny, and he's, you know, he's saying everything with a little bit of a twinkle in his eye with all these inside jokes. So it was really cool. So yes, so we, if you missed this past week, you're on vacation, whatever, we got three interviews for you to listen to: the Hayes's, Patrick Muldoon, and Charles Shaughnessy. And we have an interview coming up, we think, on Wednesday, but I don't think Anna confirmed it yet. Completely yet, so we'll wait to announce that one. So save the date Wednesday, 10 p.m. for another interview. And Mariam, we got some callers. See if they want to come on. Hello, is this Sarah? 775.
Yeah.
Hello, Sarah.
Yeah.
Hey, did you want to talk, or are you just listening, honey?
I'll talk.
Okay, well, I don't know what you're going to talk about, though.
Yeah, but we saw someone this week, right, Sarah?
Yes, we saw a couple this week.
I wonder which couple it could be.
I wonder. It was about time, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about time.
That only took forever.
It was cute.
Yeah, so and then he had to, like, say something at the end of the episode, then I'm all like, oh, great.
It was nice that Victor had his, I didn't catch all this week's episode, but I saw this.
At his birthday, they were celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah,
I don't think
him and Maggie.
Yeah.
And I made the joke on Twitter that Magic's back and they got their house back.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I'm all like, that place sure looks familiar.
The safe house was the
steps,
mansion.
And then when you said it, I'm all like, oh.
I'm such a dumbass. I'm the only person didn't recognize it was the Curiosus Mansion was the safe house. I felt so stupid.
Carrie!
I didn't notice. And I noticed.
Your observation is usually pretty good on stuff like the sets and stuff.
Yeah, because I'm a decorator, so I notice all the stupid details that nobody else here pays attention to. And I guess the Seagull storyline was so dumb, I just didn't pay attention.
Oh, it was like even the outside was the same, and you come on, the stuff is just, they just decorated it differently, but the whole, like, layout was the same.
Yeah, I noticed the windows were the same. They had, like, they were faux, really cheap-looking leaded windows. And I think the fireplace was the same, too.
This is different.
So, Sarah, how did you like the scenes with Lucas and Magic?
I was happy because it's about time. I mean, she's probably the first person he should have went to see, not, like, everybody else. I mean, because she's been so supportive of him, even though they did have that problem, you know, with her knowing what Chloe did to him, but they got past it.
I forgot all about that. Yeah. Remember when I interviewed Brian, I asked him, are you around the Hortons at all? Jennifer and Maggie. I think he said no. I think that was January, though. Yeah, he said that he really didn't have any scenes with them yet. So I'm glad they finally did it.
But, yeah, it really was about time.
It's
Yeah, that was cute. And I liked how Victor was sticking it to him a little when he's like, yeah, I'm working with Sammy a lot. That was cute. Victor was just poking him with the stick a little bit.
How's that working out?
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Yeah, how's that working out?
Let me bring Anna on. Anna's just called in. I can get my computer to work.
Anna.
Yeah. Hello?
Come on. Oh, all right, you're on. Hey,
hi.
How was the party?
Hey.
Oh, it's graduation season around here.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was fine. But anyway, so I was trying to listen to your discussion about magic. I knew Sarah would be happy about that. Oh, boy. The first thing I thought of when I saw a magic sighting, I was like, oh, Sarah will be happy now.
I think if I would talk about something else, you would be all shocked.
Oh, they were cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carrie, I heard you say that you're the only one that didn't figure out that it was the Kiriakis Mansion was also subbing for the second safe house. Oh.
Hi.
Hello?
Hey,
we got
Jen on.
Who?
Yeah. Jen.
Rex.
Yeah, Rex. Okay.
So what did you think of this week's show, Rex? I'm Jennifer.
I thought the Lucas things were awesome.
Again?
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. He can play with anybody on that show.
Anna, we were just talking about magic. So what did you think of magic stuff? Did you get to see
that?
Well,
I'm not really a fan of magic. I kind of like Victor better when he's bad.
Oh, when he's bad.
Yeah, I like bad Victor.
Yeah,
I've been going after Stefano again. I like that one.
Snarky Victor's the best, though, too. But bad Victor's good.
Yeah.
Bad snarky Victor is really good, yeah.
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 So if he can bring out the bad in Maggie, that'll work.
Yeah, but we're going to have some magic drama coming up, though, because Maggie overhears that Victor and Henderson are keeping a secret, and it's about the eggs, and he comes clean about it.
Ooh, that'll be good.
Yeah, you don't know that.
They kind of they dropped that altogether, that storyline.
Mm.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when she goes back to her house.
Oh.
She gets that
Maggie does?
She moves back into the Horton house.
Magic and trouble in paradise.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well,
don't have to
come
begging
for
her.
Yeah.
They have to have some problem.
Yeah, it's been like 7 months of marital bliss. I mean, something had to give.
That's too much. That's too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the Roman scenes this week, though.
Hmm. With when the Roman
whole
Gary?
Leaf off.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said, honey. Oh, Roman
when
and Carrie?
Roman... Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Jen.
Yeah, I liked how Roman told Rafe off.
Yes, about time somebody did it.
About time, I was going to say. I wish he would have, somebody needs to punch him.
I know.
You know, we all want Austin, we all wanted Austin to punch him. You know, Roman, it would have been fine if Roman did, but somebody needs to.
Yeah, somebody needs to deck him a couple times.
Yes.
I mean, considering how many times EJ gets punched and stabbed and shot, I mean, someone's got to whack Rafe once.
EJ hasn't even hit him, really, I don't think.
No,
yeah,
I don't think
there's
so.
There's been so many
he always hits EJ.
Yeah. Or Austin. Like, there's been so many reasons for other guys to hit him, and they don't. I don't know why.
So many reasons for women to hit him.
Let's probably just whack him with a car. That'd be nice. You don't have to punch him. Just hit him with a car.
That'll do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So with Roman and Carrie and Race this week, yeah, that was Monday. That was the only Austin episode, which, you know, that's why I didn't watch Tuesday from Friday that much. But Austin to go back to see Carrie, but he wanted to give her the scrapbook, and basically he was trying to get her to be faithful, in my opinion. That's what he was trying to do. And so he spent a few minutes with her, and Austin did try to sex up Carrie, and she refused, but she's frigid. And she's frigid for Austin. She's not frigid for everybody else. She's pretty easy. But Roman tried to talk some sense into Rafe and tried to get Rafe to stay away from Carrie and that she's still married, and Rafe's still married with Sammy, and them to get together is way too complicated. This is gross. They're in-laws. They're sibling-in-laws.
Too.
You know, I mean,
one of them's Rafe.
And one of them's Rafe, yes. And one of them's Carrie. So it's nice to finally, Roman's the only person in town who told Rafe to keep his pants zipped. Because Marlena pretty much told Carrie to go for it. Daniel told Rafe to go for it. I think Nicole kind of wanted Rafe to go for it. So it's about time someone, you know.
Reality, you know, check.
Yeah, reality. Like, hello, you're married. She's married. You know, this isn't romantic. This is still really just an affair.
And I love how Marlena has a sixth sense about pregnancy too. You have a headache. You must be pregnant.
That was actually
a joke in my high school. Because we had this like 95-year-old school nurse, and she wasn't asking, but she thought you were pregnant. She was asking because she wouldn't give you aspirin if you were pregnant.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was more of a drug side effect thing, but it was just a joke that every time one of the girls say, oh, I have a headache, and everybody would say, oh, are you pregnant?
Yeah, she just didn't want to give you something if you were pregnant, but yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, so that was the inside joke of
my
school.
So you had to especially enjoy that one then, Carrie.
Yeah, which is funny because my best friend is actually now a school nurse.
One of my friends is too.
Yeah. So she cracks me up. She's like, I can tell you 10 years from now which of the kids are going to be in jail. Because she has to determine by state law if the kids are intoxicated. So the principal has to take kids into her and to say yes, they're drunk, or yes, they're high. So, I mean, so she really, it's not just like, she's not just fixing boo-boos. I mean, she has to determine whether or not someone's sober. So that's really sad. But, yeah.
Pretty sad. And they got to worry about that.
Yeah, so that's what happened with Roman and Carrie. So, Anna, would you like to fill us in on what happened with Kate this week?
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, my God.
In the park. With Brady.
Flipping.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Brady was shirtless this week.
Brady was shirt. Yeah, and he was,
where are they? Oh, that's right. Okay,
the French guy.
I'm refreshing my memory.
He did a little French.
Sometimes
Brady was good
in
that.
Sometimes I get the weeks confused, and I'm thinking, you know, the prior week.
Yeah, Ian was on,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I mean, Kian got a little kiss. Kate and Ian got a little kiss. Well, and they talked a little bit about, you know, Ian brought her coffee. They talked about how they were going to have to go meet with the shirtless one in Madison. And believe me, I love shirtless Brady. I mean, that's one of my favorite aspects of the show at this point. But that's not saying much. But, I mean, just because there should be more to it. But Kate and shirtless Brady seem to be my. But anyway, and Ian, of course. But I just wonder, like, how awkward that has to be. To be in the middle of a scene with a bunch of adults and you're shirtless and everybody else is dressed. I mean, it's one thing if it's a dorky, like, poolside scene or something, or, you know, but it's got to be a little weird when your wardrobe consists of, like, pants and everybody else is fully dressed. I don't know. So they go over to the Kiriakis Mansion to
meet with Brady. I don't know why they went over there. I guess they've gotten rid of the office sets. I'm not sure. But anyway, they went over to meet with Kate and Ian, went to meet with Brady and Madison, and soon discovered that Madison, because she's too busy screwing Brady all the time, forgot some paperwork, and so she didn't even bring it with her. And so they were going to meet with Serge, this pretentious Frenchman, about some merging some product, some accessories with makeup, cosmetics, between Mad World and Titan.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to meet him in the five-star Brady pub for a very high-class, high-powered executive meeting. I always find that humorous. But anyway, so they met over at the Casa Kiriakis. Brady's shirtless. He's drinking his apparently putrid, according to Kate, power drink with algae and antioxidants and all kinds of crap mixed in it. And so, of course, at some point in time, Ian laces it or outright dumps a bunch of stuff of the bad stuff in Brady's glass while he's out of the room or whatever. And Madison and Kate have already left for the pub. And then he puts the rest of it in his protein drink canister, so I guess he'll get another dose of it, you know, again, later. So then they head over to the Brady pub, and Serge is sitting there talking with Kate and Madison. And along comes Brady outside the pub, and he's loopy from drinking whatever crap Ian put in his drink. Nicole sizes up the situation quickly, has him sit down, and goes in and tries to tip Madison off that her, you know, boyfriend is outside drunk or something, on drugs or something. And Madison's like, we're in a meeting right now. She's being her usual snotty self. And so eventually, you know, they all end up out there. Well, actually, Brady busts in. And he joins the meeting and basically ruins it, makes an ass out of himself and everyone else. Serge basically informs Kate and Madison that there's no deal if Brady's involved. So Brady's got to be out of the picture for him to work with them. And so they go outside at some point, and he's still loopy. And he's like, I haven't had any drugs in years. I've been clean for years. And then, of course, Ian comes walking up, all innocently asks, you know, how's he doing? How's he feeling? You know, and you're just like, oh, that was slick, Ian. Since you're the one that laced his drink with whatever it is that you're lacing it with. And so, I don't know. So I guess basically he's trying to sabotage this whole Brady and Madison thing, and I don't know why. I don't know what's going on there. It's annoying as all hell because, you know, he's obviously got some agenda. I was hoping for a mysterious love story with Kate and Ian, but obviously he does have some sort of other agenda as well, so we'll have to tune in to find out what that is. And I'm trying to think, was there anything else that – I think that covers most of it, doesn't it, as far as their story?
Yeah, and I saw Lauren tweeted this week she's going to change her hair. Did you see that?
Yes. She's going for a style change, so we'll be looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, soon to happen. Should be fun. I always love Lauren's hair no matter what, but it's always fun to see what she comes up with. So, she's got a great set of hair, great head of hair. So, she, you know, gives the stylist a lot to work with because her hair is so thick and beautiful, and so, you know, so she's got a lot to work with there. So. What's that? So anyway, yeah, so it'll be fun. I'm sure she'll tweet a picture at some point. So I did see where she said she wasn't going to get rid of the blue streak, so somehow the blue streak will still be featured. So looking forward to seeing that. And trying to think. I think she was she only on the one day?
I think.
It seemed like there for a while she was on, like, every day there for a while, and then now it's been really slim pickings. It's been boring. Boring without Kate and Ian. So that's what I can remember. If you guys think of anything else, just jump in. But
I did enjoy that Ian and Kate were color coordinated. They were quite cute together.
that's soulmates right there when you start doing that.
Hey, since they don't give us we haven't had any more love scenes in the hotel room since the first one. I have to pretend like they actually got up and they actually looked in their closet and her newly acquired wardrobe from the Parisian designer, and they both looked at each other and said, "What's Matt's today?" And they like picked something out together. I mean, I have to like fill all that in since the show doesn't do it for me. So, but they did look very nice together, I must say.
Yeah, it looks like Lauren filmed quite a bit this week. She was mentioning about being with James Scott and Josh Taylor, and I think Drake too. Yeah,
she tweeted a picture with Drake, and I was like, that would be fun to see a James.
But she didn't seem that upset that John was dead. I mean, she offered her condolences to Brady, and then that was kind of it. So, and then her daughter-in-law was dead too with Carrie.
Yeah, I hated the way they didn't even, I guess because they really weren't dead, they expected no one else in Salem to actually care or know or be worried about it. Because you would think that if nothing else, Kate would have been there for Austin. That would have been an awesome scene for her to be there for him. I mean, because they never get scenes together. They hardly ever even act like they know each other.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Austin Billy scenes. I think they do have this nice different chemistry. And Lisa and Patrick are friends in real life and always stayed friends throughout the years. And actually, he talked her into coming back to the show. So, but it's like I think his mom should be there. It's, I mean, Kate knows how much Carrie's always meant to Austin.
And she, remember when he went to her at the mansion and said he thought his marriage was breaking up a while back, like 2 months ago or so, she's like, "You get over there and fix it, boy." You know? So she was like, I think she was scared to death Sammy was going to move in or something. So she was like, "You fix it with Carrie. You know, you make it right. You make it work." You know? So she's definitely a fan of Carrie. You know? She definitely wants them to, you know, would want them to work it out. So, and plus, I mean, Carrie is Roman's daughter. Let's not forget. I mean, if she really thought Carrie, I mean, that's why the whole thing was so stupid the way they did it, because it's like, oh, yeah, let's put him in a safe house and trot everybody over there to, you know, see everybody in a safe house and leave a trail for Stefano. I mean, come on, you know? It's just stupid. The whole thing was ill-conceived and poorly executed. But, yeah, it really annoyed me. It annoys me when they leave out key characters and things like that. I mean, there would have been at least one scene of Kate consoling Roman, and that would have been nice. And it could have even involved sex. I was in fine with that. You know, whatever. You know, like look, you know, if Sammy and EJ can get away with grief sex, certainly Kate could have gotten away with comfort sex for Roman. You know, losing his daughter.
I mean, the guy hasn't had sex in 5 years. I mean, he
And it was with Nicole, wasn't it? No, it was Anna. That's right.
It was Anna Demira.
Anna.
Yeah, and then he acted like a complete jackass, whatever.
We all hated that, but whatever.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
I was like, oh, no.
Sucked big time. Yeah, so that's what I can remember of that. But anyway... I don't know. Since I came in about 15 minutes late, I don't know what you guys were talking about at the beginning. I came in on magic, but
We were talking about the interviews. We didn't even hadn't started the show yet, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I will say the things that were really well written, I really did enjoy, like the Sammy, Lucas, Will stuff and the EJ and Sammy scenes and all that surrounding, like, everything they do is—I have to give it to Dave. Just about everything they do that has to do with Will lately has been—I mean, of course, because Chandler's amazing, but the writing has been so good for that story. I mean, they really haven't missed a beat on it. I mean, they've stretched it out at times, or they've like dropped it for a while last year and stuff. But and then like Sonny disappeared all of a sudden for like, you know, once he was serving as Will's gay life coach for a few weeks, then he dropped off for a while.
Gone.
So he's been gone. Nobody's even manning the pub. I have no idea. It must be the first self-running coffee house ever.
Coffee house. Gay was at the pub. Yeah.
But I will say that the scenes with EJ, you know, with Lucas finding out about gay, you know, Will being gay, and then how he handled it was so good. And I thought the dialogue with the son and the father was so sweet. It was so sensitive, and it was so, like, I don't know, poignant, really. And I thought Brian did a great job with it. I really did. I'm glad he was the mature one. Of course, we could count on Sammy to make it about herself.
Right. It was all about Sammy. Mm-hmm.
But,
and I thought it was hilarious.
I loved how EJ, I thought it was funny that EJ.
But yeah, EJ.
Oh, about his sexuality?
Yeah, you knew?
Does everyone know? It would have been funny if she said, everyone in this town know except for me?
Yeah,
oh,
pretty
yes,
much.
Yes, Sammy.
Yeah,
pretty
because
much.
you're too
pretty
concerned
much.
About yourself.
And Sammy used to work with Chris. She should have picked up on a little bit more on the gaydar thing, you know.
Yeah. But, of course, the nice thing is that Will has an act. I mean, the nice thing is he's just a guy who happens to be gay. They're not making him, or you know, overly, you know,
the,
they're not making it a caricature.
Yeah.
They're making it a real person,
right.
and it was kind of funny because somebody that doesn't watch Days, I was at some event or something, I can't remember where I was talking to somebody, and they were talking about somebody in their life, I'm drawing a blank on who it was, and it's irrelevant to this story, but they were talking about how their friend or whoever it was struggling with this, and he was about Will's age. And I was like, dude, you need to have him tune into Days of Our Lives, you know, because it's a great story, you know. But it was really interesting how what they were describing that this kid was going through was precisely the way they were writing the Will story, at least the limited amount that I knew of this real life person's story. But it was just really neat that it was like, you know, they really are tapping into something that a lot of people deal with. And you can relate to, even if it's not about being gay, just about discovering who you are as a person, you know. And, I don't know, but I just think they've really hit most of the beats dead on for that story. And the acting's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lucas, Sammy, EJ, and Will, all four of them have been really good.
Yeah, they have. And then... You know, I think it was funny that Sammy was more pissed that Marlena was the one he went to instead of her. And I'm thinking, well, you know.
I love how Lucas told her off, too. I mean, he did. He told it like it was, you know.
Uh-huh.
He said that she was just so more concerned about Marlena than, you know, Will. It's all about her.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure this is probably a relief. And load off of Will's chest. At the same time, too, it just seems like his mom just lived down to his expectations, and that's got to be so disappointing and heartbreaking that she did that.
Yeah. But it was nice that Lucas was there to try to be the intermediary and kind of try to... Yeah, but then did you notice Lucas was pissed when she says, well, that's what EJ said, too. And he's like, EJ? Like, how the hell? I mean, you're spreading all of our family stuff around everywhere, you know. It was kind of funny. Like, basically, Sammy's that person that doesn't have boundaries, like, spills everything. She, you know, exactly. We all know somebody like that. Plus, I'm sure it was a little jealousy, too, you know, too, that it just happened to be that she ran into EJ, but, you know.
It's Salem, and there's only 30 people living there, and they all run into each other at the square.
At least it's not the park bench anymore. That's nice. I was getting sick of that damn park bench.
Yeah, the flipping pier, yeah.
I have to admit, the Horton Town Square still makes me happy. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be that happy about a set, but it does. It makes me happy. It makes me feel like there's actually a real town there, you know, because
Mm-hmm. People are milling around in the background. I actually saw somebody was complaining about there being extras in the scene. I'm like, shut up. It's a town square. Come on. But it just makes the town seem more alive because everybody used to run into each other at that damn park bench, and all there were trees, and it was like like in the middle of nowhere or something, you know? And so I like that they invested in a new set for that earlier in the year, last year.
Yeah, and they even fit Harrison the square. It's so big.
Oh, that was so cute.
Yeah.
I bet you love that. Being a Renee Jones fan, I bet you really enjoyed that. It was good. Oops, I hear something in the background.
Yeah, it's a guy.
Some guy talking? Somebody have a guy talking in the background?
Yeah, my dad's talking to me.
So what does he think about Days of Our Lives?
He don't watch it.
Yeah, I only saw a little bit of the whole Lexi stuff, and I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
My mom was like, "Are they really going to send her?" No, it was my hairdresser today. So they're going to send, really going to send her in Paris that they used to do. And I'm like, no, they don't do that anymore. They don't do location shots anymore.
Yeah, but they were being generous.
Yeah,
sending all those people, Abe and Lexi. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the Bold and Beautiful in particular, they almost every year they were somewhere. They were in like Italy once, and they were in Australia once.
They used to do that.
Yeah, actually, I think Bold and Beautiful, I think they were in Vail. No, it was Aspen. They were in Aspen just a couple weeks ago. So Bold and Beautiful still is doing stuff like that. But not days. So, yeah, it's a bummer. Let's see what else happened this week that I forgot about.
I noticed that Celeste is getting a little better at acting. A little bit.
Oh, good.
I don't mean that to be ugly. I mean, but, like,
yeah.
You know, because Beverly Todd, isn't she the actress?
Yes.
She's a pro. I mean, she's a long pro. I mean, she was in The Bucket List. That was cute last week. We talked about that, how they made that reference, and she's like, I knew her. The wife looked familiar in that, and it was her because she played him. That was cute.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she's getting a little better. I think she was just really thrown into that role so quickly, and the pace is so fast, and there's a lot of heavy material right up front, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to figure out, why does she feel like Abby?
If Marjorie plays a character like Celeste, the actress that played her,
well,
and she didn't probably
like
want to do an imitation of her.
Yeah, that would be like somebody replacing Calliope or Eugene. I mean, they're just so distinctive.
Or Stefano or... You can.
So,
there's just some
that
own the character and you just can't replace them. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm cool with her now. You know, I mean, she seems like she's gotten more into the groove and stuff. And Renee Jones is just so beautiful. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, she's just so gorgeous. It's been sweet. And then did you guys notice how they were trying to, like, kind of push Kayla on Abe? I wonder, that's going to be an interesting thing when Abe is gone, or when Lexi's gone. Yeah, Kayla's like,
what?
I mean, Lexi's like, you know, Abe's really going to need someone to lean on kind of thing. It was like foreshadowing.
See, I didn't take it that way at all. I didn't take
it
in a relationship.
Yeah, it was foreshadowing.
Are you kidding?
Like,
no.
Oh,
God,
no.
It's a friendship thing.
No
way.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It didn't
come
off that way. At all to me.
I'm just saying. I picked up on that.
No.
Also.
No. Oh, well. What do they do with Kayla? You know, if it's not passed, then first they have to shove her off on Shane, and now it's like, come on.
I know. It's sad that it was
Icky
when she was hugging her brother-in-law.
That didn't work.
That
was like really creepy. I never liked that at all. That was, you know. Oh, I see. I didn't take that at all. I would have never thought that until you said that.
I think Faye needs to return. What's that?
I think Faye needs to return.
Yay.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be interviewing. Did you guys talk about... Good. Oh, what?
Oh, I was just saying, did you guys talk about interviewing, we're going to be interviewing Valerie Wildman that's going to be with us next Wednesday. We have to post the interview, but at least the most recent conversation I had with her, she's going to be the 23rd. So okay. Be looking for that. So,
yeah, and she's really cool. So and really
she
nice.
She is. She's awesome. I wish she could come back. I really wish. I think it would be so cool. Like once Lexi's gone. I mean, not that I don't. I mean, I love Renee, but I know she's leaving on her own terms, and she wants to leave to retire. So you know, I'm happy for her. I'm gonna miss Lexi, but I think it would be so cool if like somehow Abe found the real Faye, like tied up in the basement or something of the mansion. I still think that would be such a fun scenario. And then Faye could be there to help him put the pieces back together of his life. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, and she could be there for Nicole and her baby, too.
Yeah.
That's who they need for Abe is her, not Kayla.
Yeah.
Because she has
it's
a son
yeah,
with him.
It's the perfect time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And for Nicole.
What did you guys think? Yeah. And I'm amazed, and all I like Cameron and Abby together, but it was kind of funny how much they have in common.
Oh yeah, please. That's being forced again.
They are cute. But yeah, it was a little bit too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
The thing that put me over the top was he went to the same prep school as her brother. I'm like, okay.
That's a stretch.
But that makes me think his father must be British. I wonder if he's Ian. Because his last name isn't McAllister, but I got to thinking when he made reference to that boarding school in England, of like, and his dad's this powerful, mysterious person, like, wonder if they're going to tie that in anywhere. Don't know, but surely they would have noticed Ian running around town, so it seems like somebody would have picked up on that by now. But
yeah, you think her cards would have picked up on that by now that Ian running around.
Yeah, so that's probably not. That's probably a long shot, but I happen to think about that, but, you know.
Along with that group, it finally got confirmed today, a rumor that we had on the blog that Molly Burnett is leaving when her contract is up in June. So, and Super Digest did finally confirm that this week. So,
okay.
Yep, so, yeah, we're not sure yet what's going to happen with Melanie. So, and even when go ahead, honey.
I'm just betting they're bringing Blake Barris back to usher her out, is what I'm thinking. I'm betting that Chad gets wrapped up with a stupid Gabby story somehow. Or something happens to cause a rift, and then Nick comes back to town. And I kind of wish Nick would be like Gabby's real stalker, too. That would be kind of cool. But anyway, I could see him sweeping Molly off her, Melanie off her feet and taking her out of town. But I don't know. I mean, Nick is really, I really love Nick. I loved him when he was on. I loved him to death. But it's like, and you know, and he was in love with Premier Party Girl and all, but he was a little stalkerish, I got to admit. You know, he was stalking some, you know. So he has that potential to be a stalker, and he did kill her. He did, even though it was to protect Melanie, he did kill Melanie's supposed dad at the time. But they sent him off to the loony. They sent him off to the loony bin, and of course we know Blake is really talented. So I'm sure whatever they do will be good. But I know some people are going to be really upset if he's not staying around. But I don't know. I'm just guessing, since his timing coincides with Molly leaving, that it somehow ties in with that. But I could be wrong. What do you guys
think? I don't know, but you know what, Blake is on Twitter, Blake did tweet that to Molly that he didn't work with her the day before, or I guess he didn't see her at all at the studio, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh. Well,
what's going on there?
Yeah, they never did come out with that second round of firings, which I guess is kind of good, but, you know,
Because remember, we were waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it hasn't dropped yet.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, I guess, well, some people are speculating that the reaction was so bad that maybe they're going to maybe not publicly announce firings, maybe so they're closer to their to them being done.
That
would be a good idea.
Yeah, because it ruins the storylines. I mean, I don't know why they would do that anyway. I mean, there's enough speculation out there as it is and rumors and everything, but it's like when the show officially comes out and announces it, it ruins the present storylines completely because then you know why even invest in the story because there's not going to be one or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that would kind of be like PR 101, but I don't know. That's just us. We're just fans. What do we know, huh?
Yeah, we don't know anything.
We don't know nothing. So I guess people are still having to act like these people are dead so that people like Chad don't pick up on the fact that, you know, that the Scooby-Doo gang is still alive. Let's see. What else?
Yeah, but I think, is it Monday that Marlena and Carrie get the call that it's over and they can go home? Isn't that Monday?
No. But maybe, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention, but they, you know, they can't afford to have too many. I mean, it's fine if they wanted to call it and get rid of the writers and do new writers, but they can't afford to keep doing this crap because then everyone goes, well, these storylines don't matter because they're going to change everything with the new writing regime. And so it's mm-hmm. like the show can't afford to go 3 months. Where, since we know that they take 3 months in advance, we know there's 3 months of stuff that could be completely changed, you know? I
mm-hmm.
mean, I don't know. I just think that, I mean, I'm not going to second-guess them for firing the writers, even though I think the writers did do some good things. I think
mm-hmm.
they also were lacking in some areas, and I honestly think they were butting heads with NBC too much, and that probably was what they finally said, look, we're done. We're not going to do this anymore. So, you know, whatever. I just hope NBC knows what they're doing, and I hope NBC is, you know, pulling some good stuff together because usually executives and writers don't really, you know, there's a reason why you're an executive and not a writer and vice versa. So, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just hope that, you know, it seems like NBC has been behind the show lately, though, I will say that, just because, you know, they did the Paley Center thing and the Outfest and some other things, and it seems like they are trying to support the show and everything, so. Let's hope that continues.
Yeah, they're definitely doing a lot of press, and they've been doing that, I'd say, for quite a while. I think when they started the reset in September, that's
mm-hmm.
when they started doing these 10-minute interviews
yeah.
with everybody on the dual publicity list and getting the word out like that. And it's nice that they do events where in L.A. that the fans can come and see the cast and hear their point of view on the show. And, you know, they are sending actors out here and there. They haven't really been doing too much recently. So, I mean, they're trying to keep generating interest. But I was at
yeah.
my mom's house. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. We were watching Days. I think it was Monday. And she was like, oh, this is just so awful. This was, I think she called the, she said the writing was crap. I mean, My mother, she's been watching Days a lot longer than me, and she said it was crap, the writing.
Wow.
She thought the whole Safe House thing was stupid. And
yeah.
I agree with her, too.
She and all the other fans that watch, geez, awful.
Yeah. And
well, in the chat room, Jennifer, a.k.a. Rex, she said Bo's accent sure was bad, and I was thinking, you know, and then I put in there, I really didn't, and again, I love Christian and I love Peter, not trying to knock them, they're great, I love
mm-hmm.
them, they're one of my faves, but I really didn't think someone could top Princess Gina's bad accent, but Bo
mm-hmm.
came through. It's like, I was like,
better Russian accent, I gotta say.
Go for it, Anna. Let's hear some of it.
Oh, Ivanol. Somehow it'll sound like it's Spanish, but it's still better than both. Stefano, please buy these arms from us. I don't know. I'm just saying. I can't do that kind of thing on command. You can't just turn on and turn off a Russian accent. You got to be in character, you know? So
I was sorry. When he did it, it was the typical Russian accent over the top. I mean, the way he did it.
Stupid. Plus, of course, we all can recognize Peter Ruffles' voice. So we all
Come on, Stefano.
Obvious Stefano would recognize Bo's voice, you know, I don't know. And I'm sorry, Stefano would be that stupid. Stefano would be that stupid to go down to the chair like that by himself. I mean, that's the thing. I could, I'll bet that Joe would just read the script sometimes and be like rolling his eyes thinking, what the hell?
Oh, Joe's probably like livid, you know, Stefano would never do this. You know?
He's probably, every day he opened a script, he was probably thinking, oh, my God, what are they going to have me doing today? So, it's sad. It's like the dismantling of the Demiras is just disgusting right now. So, not pleasant at all.
You know, I only caught a little bit at the end when they busted Stefano, but I thought it was interesting for a change. It wasn't race. That was busting Stefano. It was Bo. So, but usually that's Race's job. He's the only one who's allowed to do something heroic in Salem. And I thought it was kind of interesting. It was Bo. And when Bo took off his mask and Joe Mascola just looked at him and smiled, I thought that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It was a neat little scene. Instead of acting surprised, he just sits there and smiles. So that was pretty cool. I don't know why my phone's doing that going. That's me. Okay.
Huh?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
I can hear everybody.
Okay, we're all calling.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear. We can't talk, but I can hear.
Yeah.
Oh, the struggle.
So is there anything we missed this week? So I got everything on my list. I can't remember anything else.
No, I think we're good. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I think we're
kind of anticlimactic, but.
it just seems like every week the show was getting kind of more downhill.
I can see why they made changes. Let's just hope the new/old people that are coming back make it better. Let's hope.
And the problem is not the cast. This whole Safe House storyline is just a clusterfuck from the beginning to the end. And I mean, think about it. It's almost over. It's gonna be over next week. But I mean, holy shit, the pacing was terrible, and lacked all type of believability. I mean, there was no, it was just too much of a flight of fantasy that didn't make any sense. And it was just a way to bring Rafe and Carrie together after Rafe almost told her 20 times that he wasn't Nicole's baby daddy. It's another one of these days storylines that I'm just going to black it out of my mind. Just like I blacked out the first Princess Gina. I blacked it out. I don't remember any of it. And I try to black out all the whole Kristen and Susan and all that stuff from the 90s. I try to black that all out of my mind. And I'm going to do this with this one. Of course, it's only two or three weeks, so thank God. That's not a lot of time to black out of, you know, my mind. But this is just shitty. I don't know what else to say. It's just shitty. The only thing that's been good about this, the Safe House storyline was that Shane was back for a couple episodes. And it sounds like, too, they cut out Shane's mention of Kim. So that was a part of when I asked Charles on Friday, the girl, was there a Kim mention? And he said he tells Kayla that him and Kim are together, but they're working things out, and that she wasn't happy with him taking the case, but she agreed to it. So, and he said that episode already aired, and obviously nobody saw that conversation. So that's kind of everybody wondering, well, why the hell did they cut that out? Does everybody
say that again? I missed that.
They cut out Shane's conversation about Kim to Kayla. Because everybody's wondering, where's Kim? And, you know, what happened to Shane and Kim the past 2 years?
How'd you find out that they cut that out?
Because he said it already aired and nobody saw it.
Hate that.
Yeah.
Hate when they cut stuff out. It seems like they're cutting a lot. We talked about this the last few weeks. They've been cutting out stuff. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and then did you guys talk with the magic thing? Did you guys discuss the fact that she busted Victor talking about how he's never going to tell her the secret?
That episode aired yet? Or is that is that next week?
No,
or
that was
that
last
happen?
Week. No, that was, that
oh.
was last week. Because he was, oh. they were doing the birthday party thing, and then he was talking to Henderson, and Maggie was out of the room. And he was in there, and he says, Maggie can never find, of course, you know, they always do this. Maggie can never find out the secret, or I'm never going to tell her the secret. And she walks in, and she's like, what secret? So.
Yeah, we talked about magic, and it's nice to see them again. And we just saw them again so they can break them up. That's really frustrating as hell. Because
I miss Victor's dry wit. I love it. Like, when he and Kate are in scenes together, like back a year or so ago when they were at the hospital and Chloe was dying or whatever a couple of years ago, they were cracking me up in the hallway because their witty repartee was killing me.
Well, everybody says John Aniston is hilarious, and he always has a joke for everybody whenever he comes in and works.
Aww.
So, always has a story, has a joke. Yeah. Oh, and they said, too, I think, was it Jay Kenneth who said that? They, someone asked him, what do the actors say when there's, like, a group scene and they're just in the background pretending to have a conversation with somebody? And I guess, I think Jay Kenneth said that John Aniston just talks gibberish. When he's pretending to talk with someone, he's just you know, not making any sense. So I thought that was a cute story. Well, was anybody else anything to contribute?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm ready to call it tonight. So I can think of anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not scheduled officially yet. It's not on the blog or the Blog Talk Radio yet, but we will be scheduling that interview with Valerie Wildman on Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Yay!
Yep.
Okay.
Be there or be square.
Okay.
All right.
So thanks for.
Hopefully I'll talk better by then.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope you feel better. And thanks to Sarah, Jen, and Anna and Marianne for calling in tonight.
Bye.
Thanks
for having
us. Good
evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.